You're listening to This QPOC Life, a podcast that looks at the world through the lens of a queer person of color. Now, if you're just joining us for the first time, welcome. But if you're coming back, oh child, we got a lot to talk about today. And today I'm joined by someone who has been making ripples, no, waves in the Gaysian community with his fiery response to the latest season of Queer Eye, that is, Queer Eye Japan. In his Medium.com piece titled, My Culture is Not Your Toy, A Gay Japanese Man's Perspective on Queer Eye Japan, Stephen Wakabayashi audits the latest Netflix offering episode by episode. I'm happy to welcome you to the studio today, Stephen.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
How are you? Because I feel like there's a lot going on.
Wow, it's been, you know, I threw that article out there and I was not expecting it to get the attention it got. I am Stephen Wakabayashi and I am a queer Asian. I am half Japanese, half Taiwanese, born and raised in Los Angeles. And I've done a lot of work in the media space. I used to work at advertising firms, managing design teams, and I just burned out really bad to a point where I got super sick. And this entire year has been a lot of self-discovery, self-exploration, and I went to meditate all around the world. And I did 2 months of silent meditation, and it's crazy.
I'm looking at it. I did the white man reacting gif from across the table just now for the listeners.
Yeah. And, you know, I have had a lot of interesting trials and tribulations as part of my journey of finding myself, embracing myself being gay, embracing myself being Asian. And so I also started all these different initiatives to put my thoughts and my message out there. And so recently I created, two months ago, I created Yellow Glitter, a podcast on mindfulness through the eyes and soul of me, Stephen Wakabayashi, a queer Asian. And in it, I talk about my life, growing up Asian, growing up queer, and the difficulties I've had. And it's been resonating. And, you know, I find so much heart and soul with it that this is where I want to put my work into.
Well, that's awesome, Stephen. You all stay tuned and we're going to get into it more in depth with Stephen Wakabayashi. This is This QPOC Life. This QPOC Life. And we're back with Stephen Wakabayashi. I messed it up that time. And like, I literally never mess up your name. And I know that this is the first time that we're ever meeting, but I'm just really high on Starbucks right now. The listeners will know they're going to be like, Jonathan is on one today. Also, I didn't introduce myself. I'm Jonathan, aka Blasian FMA. You can find me everywhere on the internet under that name, but I prefer the Instagrams. So follow me on there. And yeah, I will probably just edit that into the front half of this. So
Stephen, editing.
Yes, editing. She is here to slay. She didn't come to play. We were going to have this episode with Zach Arias, but don't worry, he's fine. He just had to back out at the last minute. And obviously, we're setting the stage for a Gaysian themed episode, given the nature of what has happened to Stephen here in the past, 4 days, 5 days, past week.
I launched it a week ago,
And let's just talk about that. Like, I DM'd you, trying to get you to come on to the show, and like right off the bat, the energy was like really fun. And we did this thing, I don't know if you clocked it or not, but like we kept on apologizing to each other and like, that's such an Asian thing to do.
I don't even know that.
We did. Check the record.
Okay. We're like, check the receipts.
Because like, there's this point where like, I think I asked you like when your availability is and you're like 9 to 5 Monday through Friday is my job. And then I was like, oh, great. I was like, oh, that's great for me. And then you were like, oh, no, sorry. I meant that I'm not free 9 to 5. And then I was like, oh, no, sorry. I meant that I also work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. And I was like, oh, my God, we're being so Asian right now.
You apologize for everything. Yeah. As if you've done anything to overstep your boundaries, stating anything, any opinion, whatever you have, you're always like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's so funny, right? We talk about bias, unconscious bias. Like, I didn't clock that. Mm. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Until you pointed it out.
Yeah. But it's also, just to be fair, you know, I know that there's hella opinionated Asians out there who are not that way, you know?
Yes. So agreed. Like, agreed.
You know, we're all different and the point is we're not a monolith, but I did clock that trait. And there are other traits that we will talk about later on that, skew toward a certain lens, if you will. But not enough about me, more about you. You're West Coast.
Yes. So born and raised in Los Angeles. I actually moved over here to New York many, many years ago. I forget. And I just could not handle the winters. Oh, my God. Mm. Coming from the West Coast in the winter, you're like, I'm freezing to death.
Same. San Diego native.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I moved over to San Francisco. It was not L.A. And I, you know, I had been dating people in San Francisco here and there, and I ran over there for love. And
to San Francisco?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then it opened my eyes, you know. There's a lot of privilege in San Francisco right now. You have a lot of tech companies making a lot of money in the world. You know, all these companies are IPOing, and, you know, as they go public, a lot of the money all around the world is really funneling into this one specific city where all these companies are. People are paid ungodly amounts of money to do work. I mean, amazing work. But this, it created a ripple. And there's a lot of inequality within San Francisco right now. And it really opened my eyes to some of the stuff that was a little bit too real that I really want to address myself in my work. And so I tried doing that in San Francisco a little bit, and it was just climbing up a hill. And ever since I had moved back to New York here, it's just, I'm surrounded with people like you. I'm surrounded by so many people who want to support the work that I do, the things I want to speak out about. And so that's why I kind of moved back. And, you know, the winter, I'm ready for it.
It's trash. it is trash. But you know what?
But let me tell you, I moved back in the winter because that's when housing is available too.
Oh, so true. Because in the summer, try moving and it's like the U-Hauls are all sold out. It's all the realtors and the agents are just booked. So winter, it is a smart time to move, but it's just so cold.
Yeah,
thank the universe for your people, your Japanese people, and Uniqlo.
Yes.
Because Heat Tech? Not sponsored, hashtag not sponsored.
But sponsor me, hashtag
sponsor me. Like right now, I bought this jacket, this hybrid down parka. And let me tell you, this thing is like wearing their Heat Tech underwear, on your body.
It's amazing.
I'm ready for the winter now. So thank you, Japanese people, for creating Heat Tech.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Steven, tell me about why you decided to start a podcast. You mentioned different initiatives that you wanted to start, and there are many. I've seen your website. I did my research before I had you come on here, read your art. Well, didn't read all of your... It's like a 28-minute read, child.
And that's why I'm going to let you... And I'm really impressed.
That's why I'm letting you describe
hater
it in the second
half. Hater or not hater, I'm impressed that you're...
going to let you do it. But... Let's talk about the podcast first, Yellow Glitter.
Yes.
Now, I did listen to every single episode of
amazing, yeah.
I really enjoyed it, and I'm happy that you're here to talk about it. There are other Gaysian podcasts out there, but you just have such a way of communicating. Yeah. And the funny thing is, I listened to the podcast, because I was trying to get through it because you were coming, I listened to it all in like 1.75 speed.
Yep.
So like... I was re-listening to another episode this morning, even though I had already listened to it, and I had time, so I was like, let me just put it on one.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, he sounds like that app that helps you go to sleep.
I get that a lot. Yeah, so if you're not listening to Yellow Glitter for the mindfulness content, listen to it to relax.
Yes. It is a relaxing voice. But why did you start? And why that specific niche, that approach?
So I know I mentioned it, you know, I left everything to go meditate. And to kind of talk about meditation a little bit, I had been doing yoga. I had studied dance for the longest time when I was back in California. And as a part of my studies and a part of my yoga practice, I'm sitting in meditation in classes. And to me, it was just another part of these exercise rituals. And over 10 plus years of doing yoga, I started to take it a little bit more seriously. And as a part of my journey to realize what I want to do, what my purpose is in the world, this part of my brain nagged me a little bit saying, hey, Steven, explore it a little further. And I think being sick was a blessing in disguise. I had overworked myself. I had partied way too hard. I lived the mantra, work hard, play hard for so many years. And just waking up in the hospital after they had run tests that you don't even remember, wearing a gown you don't even remember putting on, and having done that so many times over the course of many months, it just, it was eye-awakening. And I took that and told myself, hey, go explore something. And so meditation was in the back of my mind. And so with that, I went around the world. I went to different meditation areas, and I had sat in meditation for about 2 months worth in six destinations. And why I talk about this is because I was meditating in Japan, Thailand, and in India. And all these meditation places, there were about 80 to 90% white people still. And that to me just took me aback. Mm. Here I am in Asia trying to meditate, and everyone I was surrounded by were white people. And that just made me realize how inaccessible mindfulness was, especially for the Asian community and especially for the gay Asian community. Everywhere I went, out of 100 to 200 people on retreat, I was the only gay Asian person. And so that really inspired me to create this content and to make something accessible, not just to myself or my immediate community around me, but through podcasts, whoever has accessibility to listen to it online.
Wow.
Yeah.
And like, as you were saying that, and I remember you either saying it on your podcast or reading it somewhere, I thought to myself, like, I don't know if it's true, if I've read this somewhere, but like, doesn't the Asian community have one of the biggest problems with mental health?
Yes. Yes.
I know my mom's side of the family, it's just, it's god awful. Like, our family is broken because of it. And I know that there are so many stories told over and over again, like the Joy Luck Club is all about basically mental health issues or like not being able to speak out for yourself and finding that power. And I use that as an example because it's one of the only representations in cinema in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
But it was very profound for me coming up in that time. 90s kid. We're happy to have you here, Steven. And after the break, we're going to get into this Queer Eye Japan mess that you have been dealing with and continue to deal with. So right after the break, we'll be right back. Even start. So first of all, I think most of the listeners out there know what Queer Eye is. So, and I don't know the exact origins, forgive me for being a lazy millennial, but my first encounter with the Queer Eye brand was Queer Eye for the Straight Guy in the early 2000s on NBC. Now, I don't know if that was based on like a British show or something and it was like a remake for the early 2000s, but I think that was like Carson Kressley.
Yes.
And like I remember the really cute twink Jai, which I looked at him up really recently, and he's like grown up and like got beefy and stuff. I don't know if they had a black guy. I'm not sure.
Carson Kressley looks the same.
Right.
No, they didn't have a black guy. No.
They didn't? Mm-mm. So, but it was the same formula as the reboot on Netflix today, Queer Eye. Not for the straight guy anymore, but just Queer Eye. To be honest, I've only watched one episode, and it was in the first season of Queer Eye on Netflix. Yeah, it was the one where they made over the guy in Atlanta. And he asked, like, which one is the wife or whatever. And, like, I learned there that they're going for, like, an educational for the queer community type thing with these people. But, again, to be honest, I haven't watched. I've been seeing just all over online that this new season, I don't know, is it season four or three or something?
Season four,
Season four is Queer Eye Japan. And it's apparently only four episodes long. And that's all I heard about it. Then I started seeing folks sharing this article. And I was like, oh, Lord. And I read some of it. Again, 28-minute read. And so I was like, well, I'm really interested in this person. Let me listen to his content. And so I listened to the podcast instead. But you have received a lot of praise and backlash.
Yes.
So tell me about the article. Tell our listeners about the article. And then your experience.
My experience and my thoughts. You know, Queer Eye has, I've never been a diehard fan. I've been a fan of a couple episodes. It just wasn't something that I was really religious about watching, but I did watch parts of the first season, parts of the second season. And as a part of the cast, Jonathan Van Ness, everything he's been doing, I've been a huge fan and a huge proponent of everything he's been saying and sharing. He has gone through drug abuse. He's dealt with...
he's openly HIV positive.
Openly HIV positive. And he's dealt with sexual harassment. But, you know, all this stuff aside, I went into it with an open mind. I was really interested because I'm Japanese, I'm queer, Queer Eye Japan, of course, you have to watch it. And so I watched the first episode, you know, it was interesting, it didn't sit right with me, but I watched the second episode, and in the second episode, they invite a queer Japanese man. And just to give context to everyone, the Fab Five go to Japan, and they invite into their crew, their entourage, a straight cisgender Japanese woman. And, you know, that being one thing, what they did in the second episode, they were advising this Japanese man of how to act, how to behave using Western context to navigate his life in Japan. And for me, it really touched something that was core and deep within me, because for the longest time, ever since I've been here in America, that has been my life. Ever since I realized that I was gay about 20 plus years ago, I realized that being gay and being Asian in America is very difficult. And left and right, people were telling me the same exact advice they were giving him on the show. Love yourself more, be out and proud, leave the family if they're not serving you. And I was raised in a very conservative family. Japanese people are extremely conservative. And after having done so much work with myself and after realizing how to truly love myself was also to love the cultural roots that I may not agree with, hearing that on the show just didn't sit right with me. And so I finished that episode. I cringed so hard and I started watching the next episode. And I said to myself, I said, you know what? I just need to write about this. I just need to put out there everything that I'm thinking about. So in the article, it's a 6,500 word article. It's mouthful. Yeah. And I go through every single episode and parts of the episode that just didn't sit right with me, and adding the cultural context that the show totally missed. And as far as feedback goes, I've gotten so, so much feedback, good and bad. But let me start off with the good. There's so many people that have reached out to me saying, oh my God, thank you so much for putting this out there, because I felt the same way and I couldn't verbalize what I was feeling. And it's true. It was really hard. I had to watch every single episode, rewind. I played it multiple times. My Netflix account will definitely think I'm a fan of that season because every episode I've watched 10, 12 times. Because
the algorithm is coming to get you now.
Now it is. It's coming to get me. And lock my doors. And
hide your kids. Hide your wife.
And, you know, it's because these cultural nuances are so hard to explain, right? The when somebody says something to us and it just doesn't sit right, we can't just automatically turn on a button, push a button and say, I know exactly why that didn't sit right. Usually it takes a lot of processing, a lot of figuring out your own biases, their biases to even point out the problem. And so rewatching, rewinding so many times, I picked out all these little parts of the episode and adding the additional cultural context of, okay, love, verbalizing love through physical, you know, physical touch, verbal affirmations isn't big in Asia, and even the gay episode where the queer episode where I was adding context of how it is actually very dangerous still in Japan to be out and proud. And anyway, back to the good stuff. A lot of people have reached out reiterating a lot of the stuff I put out there, which was amazing. But also academics have reached out saying, we are trying so hard to find content that help educate on these things. You know, we're creating great content that is more equal, more diverse, more inclusive. Great. But we are struggling to find content that does the opposite that we could use for education. And so that was an amazing moment where I said, oh my God, yes, please use all this content and all this writing and the show. And with that, I would now flip over to the bad stuff. And so after I published this and, you know, first and foremost, I'm not here to attack the people. I'm calling out their actions, what they did and how they approached bringing Western advice without any context whatsoever of Japanese culture, opening up dialogue, asking the questions. If you watch any episode, you'll quickly notice that they might ask one question in the whole scene of trying to address maybe a huge cultural hurdle that people in Japan are struggling with. And the rest of the episode is really advice. You know, Western advice.
Based,
yes, exactly. Tell someone you love them, touch them more, be more out, be more proud, think of yourself. And it is very different in Asia, and it has been for centuries and generations. But anyway, after putting that out there, I've gotten so much clapback from people who didn't agree, but not just the fact that they didn't agree and creating a discourse of trying to talk about some of the stuff of the show and creating a dialogue of how to improve it together, they want to talk and discredit my identity. And so in the article, I write about how I'm born and raised in America, but my parents had immigrated from Japan right before I was born. And that wasn't enough for them. Being raised in what I identify as a Japanese cultural household didn't agree with them either. And it's so funny, these huge fans of the show, it was as if I was attacking a deity. And that
queer eye stands.
Exactly. And I've gotten a lot of trolls that have spammed me and are still spamming me as we speak right now.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And, you know, on Twitter, I've learned that you don't block people, you mute them.
Mute them. Yes. Thank you, Twitter.
Thank you, Twitter.
Now give us the option to edit tweets. Thank you.
Yes.
For 2020.
Oh, my God. Preach. I will say why blocking is bad, because I started blocking people. I'm fairly new to Twitter. I'm big on Instagram, and I was blocking people, and people kept creating new accounts just to send me messages over and over, and they would spam me, and it was just...
What are they saying? Is it, at that point, is it still criticism of your article, or are they just trolling you now?
With no context
of the show.
A lot of trolls. This one person published an article just laughing at, not article, sorry, a bunch of tweets just laughing at me. Ha ha ha, this guy thinks he could do this, blah, 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 blah. And they're just replying to their tweet with 10, 12, 13 different consecutive tweets. And it's just, oh my God, it's just a lot.
But you know what? Yeah. And I said this to you on Instagram in the comment section. I said, you have reached into the void.
Yeah.
You've gone beyond just queer eye stands. Because one of the comments that you got on Instagram said, what was the word that they made up? I forgot
they
what
said,
it was.
I laughed so hard when I saw this. They said, this is just, I'm paraphrasing here, but they're saying, this is just some guy with another vegetable degree, like gender studies, trying to talk about these issues. He's just too upset that he's at Starbucks making some lattes with happy faces on it.
Right. And I was like, child, this is not a Queer Eye fan here. This is a Make America Great Again. Like somebody from somewhere that doesn't even watch Queer Eye themselves trolling you. So like, you know, you've made it when now you've unlocked the pathway to that level of trolling.
Yeah.
Right. So but as much as I want to make fun of your haters.
Yeah.
A listener.
Yeah.
Actually. Asked a question for this podcast because they knew you were coming on.
Amazing.
And to paraphrase the question, and it's something that we talked about in the pre-show.
Yes.
Do you? I'm totally neutral question, not for the side of Japanese people or like Japanese American people, but what is this conversation like for Japanese people in Japan versus? Yeah. Japanese American people, because not only this, but Scarlett Johansson and Ghost in the Shell. Like, I've seen this happen before. Japanese people are not upset about cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
I'm saying it in air quotes.
Yeah.
Because at least with Johansson, it was cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
In this case, it's Western view of Japan and like, I don't know if like Japanese people, like, I don't know what the actual sentiment is except for like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, because the West is just going to West.
Yeah.
So maybe they don't look into it too hard.
Yeah. It's so interesting because as a part of the clapbacks too, I got some from Japanese, but both sides, right? I've had Japanese people reach out to me, people from Japan, right? So people from Japan reaching out to me, praising the article. And I've also had people from Japan reaching out to me saying, how could you say this? What is wrong with you? And it's really interesting what you point out because bringing a critical lens requires having different experiences. Myself being Japanese, but also coming from America, I have a very different take on things that are presented within Japan. And within Japan, there is a lot of ignorance within the culture, right? Mm. And in my article, I talk about a lot of the conservative culture, how they're not open to queer people, queer rights. And for the Japanese people to back up Queer Eye just further shows and illustrates what a big issue this is already in Japan, right? And it's really funny because the way I see it, being American, is just another lens of seeing these issues, especially from my background of being Japanese. And in America, I think the beauty of it is you're taught to be critical of things. You're taught to speak out. You're taught to challenge a status quo, which is very different in most parts of Asia. In companies still, to this day, you have people working 40, 50 years at the same company, and you will not get respect unless you had put in that time. Whereas here, people can jump between job to job to job, still get respect for being there 6 months, 1 year.
So I want to just get ahead of whatever pushback, because maybe your trolls are going to listen to this.
Yeah.
I want to be very objectionable. Okay. I guess that's a word. What would you say to people who would then say, to respond to exactly what you just said, you are layering a Western lens on Japanese people when you just wrote an article criticizing these people from the West layering their lens on Japanese people.
Totally. And in the article, I don't romanticize either culture. You know, I point out the issues with Western culture. I point out issues with Japanese culture, especially with the misogyny, especially with the conservative culture against queer rights. And my point with the article was really to open up a dialogue saying, hey, if we're going to come in and advise people within another country, we need to ask questions. When we sit down with a mother and daughter who are having difficulties in the relationship, and we know that they are having difficulty verbalizing their love for each other, telling them to say that they love each other is not going to solve the problem. The bigger problem is, why? Why aren't you telling each other you love each other? What cultural issues surround it? Let me understand it. And that's not what happened on Queer Eye. And that's where I point to with the article and trying to help expand whenever we want to do these cultural shows, we need to ask the questions and we have to approach it with an open mind.
Well, Stephen.
Yes.
Thank you for writing the article. Thank you for being the jumping off point for yes. the conversation. Thank you for coming yeah. here.
Yeah.
And moving forward, like, what are you going to do with this energy? Like, you are now known as, for now, and we know how social media works, so maybe if you just don't do anything, but like, what are your plans for moving forward?
Yeah. So if you're in New York City, I am also hosting as a part of my podcast. For Gage and Mindfulness, I'm hosting a monthly support group where it is free for you to attend. I've rented a beautiful space and it is only for queer Asian people. And so if you identify as a queer Asian person, welcome. Please come. We'll attach the link in the show notes.
Definitely.
yeah. And I'm definitely looking at creating more spaces and more content to help raise the awareness of the necessity to have these conversations. At the end of the day, it's not about pointing fingers, telling who's wrong, who, you know, pointing fingers and blaming people and raising pitchforks and burning things, setting people on fire, which I feel like
is happening to you.
It's happening to me. But it's opening up the dialogue. And if you read the article, just scroll all the way down to the very end. You know, I have three key aspects that I think we can all learn so much from, and it's about how to be more inclusive, how to be more diverse, and how to be more open-minded. And I also have a line that says, with ignorance, we can't fight ignorance with more ignorance. And so, yeah, in terms of all the content I'm creating, hopefully to open up the dialogue, open up the space. And thank you for inviting me. Thank you for doing this show and also creating the space to talk about these really difficult subjects as well.
Thank you so much for that. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode, but stick around for part two of our discussion because it's going to get even more personal. That's right. In our next episode, we're continuing the conversation with our guest, Stephen, and delving into a conversation about a subject very important to the Gaysian community. And I'm not talking about boba. Because it is, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about rice queens and potato queens. So here we go. So before we sign off, Stephen, tell the people, you already told them, you know, your projects and stuff. Yeah. Where can they find you online and all of that good stuff?
Yeah, so you can reach out to me on my Instagram, slide into my DMs at Stephen Wakabayashi. And you can also find me on Facebook at Stephen Wakabayashi as well. And on Twitter, you can find me at Waku, WAKUU, because Stephen Wakabayashi was too long. They wouldn't give it to me. And so reach out to me. If you've read the article, I always love hearing people's feedback and opening up the dialogue and conversation. And if you want to be a part of anything in New York, do it.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, all right. And with that, queer folk, go out into the world armed with more knowledge and a reaffirmed spirit. I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Steven.
And this was This QPOC Life.
Bye.